Tonight, Miss Anne Blythe stars in The Angelic Avengers from Studio One at CBS.
Zosine, we've done a monstrous thing listening at the door.
But we only did it as a jest. We didn't know what they were going to say.
We heard every word. I wish the earth would swallow us up.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great novels, stories, and plays in special versions for listening. We are sorry that our regular producer, Fletcher Markle, is unable to be with us this evening because of illness. But we are fortunate in having as our director tonight, John Dietz. We present you with our version for listening of The Angelic Avengers by Pierre and Roselle. These young Avengers, as you shall presently discover, are a pair of innocents who find themselves facing strange and unknown evils. With us in Studio One tonight, we have a new and swiftly rising Hollywood star, Miss Anne Blythe. With Miss Blythe, you'll be hearing Margaret Phillips as Sozine, with Everett Sloan as Mr. Penhallow, and Sarah Burton as Mrs. Penhallow. Please to begin.
My name is Lucan Bellenden. What strange and unkind fate has brought me to this moment, I do not know. I have neither family nor fortune, and until today I was contentedly employed as governess in a great house outside London. Then this afternoon the master whom I had respected as a father made me unworthy proposals. Now I am leaving it all behind, hoping the night and the speed of the stagecoach will wipe out his words. What lies ahead, I do not know. I'm seeking the only friend I have in this world, a school friend who will perhaps offer me shelter until I can find new employment.
Well, Stange Village, everybody out. We change horses.
Driver?
Yes, miss?
How far is it to Tabernour?
About 2 hours, miss.
2 hours?
With good luck and good horses, I tell you, you'd better wait in the common room. It'll be a while before the sun is full up to warm you.
Thank you, I will.
Excuse me, my pretty little lady. Are you waiting for someone here?
No, I am alone.
You're young to be traveling alone.
Well, I...
Let's sit down over here in the corner, away from the crowd. Here, over here.
It's good to feel warm.
Are you all alone, my young miss?
Yes.
But then somebody will meet you where you get out of the coach.
I do not think so.
That is strange indeed. It is not right for a young girl to travel by herself.
Oh, I'm used to being alone. My parents are dead.
How cruel life is to young, pretty things. But surely people are expecting you where you're going.
I will be all right. Really, I will.
Well, no affair of mine.
Passengers aboard!
There, the coach is ready now.
Are you coming in my direction?
Oh, I would like to indeed. I would. Oh, but no, no. That's a foolish idea. It's impossible. No, I can't do it. I can't. I'll say goodbye.
Goodbye, and thank you very much.
Wait. Wait, I will give you my address in case you come to London. Here. On this card.
Why, thank you.
No. No, give it back to me. I won't do that either. You're too sweet, too good and pure. Goodbye, my dear. Heaven send you what you deserve.
What an odd little gray woman she was. It was like a dream swallowed up in the mist as the sun came out. For now the sun is out. It is broad day, and soon I will be with Circene at her father's great house. God grant I will be welcome for a few days of rest.
There you are, miss. Tabernacle Hall is up there on that hill with the trees. About 2 miles, I should say.
Thank you. My bag, please.
There. Oh, thank you, miss. Shall I find you a hack?
No, thank you. I'll walk. Oh, it's fate you've come this morning, just fate. Lucan, I need your help.
You have whatever I have. But what has happened, Cousin Socine?
Well, look around.
Yes.
Don't you think it's strange that no one answered the door? Don't you think it's strange that finally I myself came to the door?
Yes, I do.
There is no one here but me, Lucan.
You alone in this great place?
Terrible days have come upon us here at Tavernor, Lucan. Father is ruined.
Ruined?
Everything gone. I don't know how it could happen. I don't understand these things. Father talks of the exchange and the corn laws, but I don't understand.
Where is your father?
He's gone. To escape debtor's prison.
Oh, no.
The servants left this morning early. Tomorrow the creditors come to take Tavernor. Oh, I'm so very glad Mother didn't live to see this dreadful day.
But what about you, Socine?
I'm supposed to be on my way to my Aunt Arabella's by stagecoach, but I won't go.
But why not?
To be shut up in that gloomy old house with that hateful old woman. She's always hated Father and me. Now she could gloat. I won't go.
But you can't stay here.
I am going to run off to London on tonight's stagecoach and find employment just as you did.
But, Socine, you don't know anything about work. You don't know how hard it is for a young girl alone. You're not prepared for any kind of work.
I could be a governess as you are. Oh, I've been thinking so much about you, and now, like a great miracle, you walk in. You will go with me, won't you, Lucan? We'll go together today. Who knows? We might meet some rich nobleman who will marry us and take us around the world.
It's one thing, Socine, to visit London for parties, and another to go to work.
But we'll do both. You know people in London, don't you, Lucan?
No, I... Yes.
Who?
A strange little woman I met at the stagecoach stop this morning.
Who was she?
She looked like a sort of fairy godmother. All gray, her clothes, her face, her hair.
Maybe she could help us. What's her name?
She gave me a card, then she took it away. But I remember her name. It was so odd. Penhallow. Mrs. Penhallow. Only I wouldn't know where to reach her. We'll go to the employment agency and find a position.
How people look at you.
They do indeed. Oh, here's the employment agency. Now remember, let me talk to
you. Yes, but we remember we're cousins. I don't want anyone to know my real name, who might know a father's disgrace.
It isn't a disgrace, but all right, we're cousins. Lucan and Socine Bellenden.
What can I do for you, young ladies?
We're looking for a position.
Ah, yes. In domestic employment.
Whatever we can do. I have training as a governess, and my cousin speaks French and Italian.
Cousins, eh? That means you wish to find employment together.
Yes, we must stay together.
That's not very easy. I doubt that anybody will take the two of you.
Oh, Lucan, they mustn't separate us.
Nobody will separate us.
And I don't know what to do. A pity, too. Nice manners and fair to look on. Wait a minute. How stupid of me not to think. Just stay here a moment. I'll look in the waiting room. Yes, he's here again today, him and his wife. Been here every day for the last 2 weeks looking for the right girls. If you and your cousin would suit, you'd be the two luckiest girls in London today.
Who is it?
A reverend clergyman and his wife. Two good people, the like of which I never saw. They're alone in the world. And to do good, they want to take two girls of refined background and limited means. into their home and teach them. Give them an education.
You mean studying?
It might be just our chance.
Oh, but we want to seek our fortune, see the world, not bury ourselves in books.
So seeing we're poor, we cannot choose. If this is to be our fortune, we must take it.
The more I think of it, the better I like it. The old gentleman, for the sake of his health, lives in France.
France? Oh, how thrilling, how wonderful.
The Reverend wants steady-going, quiet girls, not flighty.
You must excuse my cousin, Mr. Quincy. She has never been away from home before. I'm sure we'd try to please him.
You just wait here. I'll ask him and his wife to step in.
Lucarne, France, maybe Paris, wouldn't it be thrilling?
Hush.
Young ladies, please rise. Here they are, Reverend, sir. Young ladies, the Reverend and Mrs. Penhallow.
And it does seem there is a destiny in our days. You two young maidens, alone and fighting the cruel world, and Mrs. Penhallow and I, eager to help just such as you.
We'll try to be everything you wish, sir.
And to think you're the very young woman I met on the London stagecoach. Something about you drew me to you that very day. I told Mr. Penhallow when I got to London that in you I had seen the very girl who could take the place of our own dear daughter.
You have a daughter?
We lost her in sickness several years ago. That is why we are so anxious to fill the emptiness in our homes and hearts by helping other young women find their way.
That is good of you.
It is a privilege to be allowed to guide young women upon their perilous road in life.
We are deeply grateful.
And I feel sure that we have judged you correctly. And now, my dears, we must make plans.
When do we leave?
At once. My eager little swallow, we shall sail for France tomorrow. Well, my dears, after a long journey, welcome to Saint Barbe. It is a joy indeed to see your young faces at last before our own hearth fire.
It's very beautiful, this place.
And very old, with a long history.
It's always so quiet.
That is why we come here. It's secluded, away from everything. Nothing but the gentle, flat country around us.
It's very different from England, but I'm sure we'll love it.
I know you will, Lucan. And so will Zosine, our little hummingbird. Now, while Mrs. Penhallow gets tea for us, I must tell you what I have in mind. I am no ordinary tutor who would have you read a few books and then go into the world. To me, you are two unformed souls, which I will mold and shape. Two human lives it is my trust to get on the path of their true destiny. It is an endeavor I welcome with reverence and humility.
Are we going to study all the time?
Hush, Susine. Whatever Mr. Penhallow does will be for our good.
Yes, Lucan. For your good. Come in.
Master, I bring firewood.
Yes, Clon. Just put it down in the box. The fire is going nicely, thank you.
Aye.
Clon, these two young ladies have come to live with us. I wish you to keep the fires and the hot water in their rooms and help me to make them comfortable.
They stay?
Yes, Clon. They will stay.
Master, I forget. I bring you something. Here. He do not hurt Primus. He kitten I find in barn. I strangle with my own hand. See, Master?
Oh, no.
Clon, take that poor creature out and never let it happen again. I have warned you about that.
Huh? Aye, Master. Aye.
That's horrible.
You may leave, Clon.
Aye, Master.
My dear girls, I am sorry indeed that you were witness to such a spectacle. I had hoped to tell you about that poor unfortunate boy before you met him.
Who is he?
One of the trials the Lord has seen fit to send me. I have tried to do good. I saved the poor boy from a long prison term, the details of which I have sworn never to reveal. But I had hoped by gentle care and love and good counsel to turn him again to the true road.
But how could he do such a thing to that kitten? So cruel.
Let us not say cruel. He is primitive. He does not realize what he does. There is nothing to fear. Clon is quite harmless. But he is quite mad. Flower that smiles today, tomorrow dies.
All that we wish to stay tempts, then flies.
What is this world's delight?
Lightning that marks the night, brief even as bright.
very good indeed, my dear. You show a remarkable aptitude for poetry.
I like poetry.
Yes, my dear, so do I. I find the romantic poets, especially Shelley, most satisfying. Learn them well. They will enrich you all your life.
Oh, who is that?
What? Whom do you see?
A rider. I just caught a glimpse of him out of the window going past the gate. He's behind the wall now.
Oh, I didn't see him. Oh,
he rode a magnificent horse, a big gray. For a moment it reminded me of father's old hunter, Mazeppa.
Ah, my dear, the mind of youth is a hummingbird indeed. Feasting upon 100 infinitesimal delights.
Is there someone near here who owns horses?
It's probably the young Baron Joliet.
Is that the family who lives in that big chateau on the hill?
Yes, my dear, the family who owns all of Joliet and has for 700 years.
700 years? In one place? What are they like?
I do not know them, Zosine. We live a secluded life here. We have not met our neighbors.
You've done so much for us, Mr. Penhallow. It would be ungrateful to wish for more.
I am an old man. I'm afraid I'm out of touch with youth, much as I yearn to help them. Come, let us close the books today. Our young hummingbird, Zosine, is beating at the window.
Oh, no, Mr. Penhallow. I love the poetry.
Then we shall have more tomorrow. Today is the beginning of the annual wine festival in Joliet.
What is a wine festival?
The grapes are harvested and all the villagers gather to dance and play games in the village. I think it would be good for you both to go.
We'd love that.
And then put on your prettiest bonnets and be off with you. But as you go among strangers, remember, a demure bearing and virtue of the heart are your greatest shields.
Isn't he good to us?
Yes, but Zosine, you must try to keep your mind on the lessons.
I do try. I really do.
We'll never have a chance like this to learn again. We're lucky to be here, Zosine, and luckier to be going to the festival. Hurry. Oh, there's Clon opening the gate. Clon, hold it for us.
You're going?
We're going to the wine festival in Joliet. I wish you were coming, Clon.
No.
Maybe you could even drive us in the donkey cart.
You mustn't ask that.
Why, Clon, I was only joking. We just like your company.
I once tried to do something good. I tried to help someone. Someone who had hair like yours, spoke like you do, but no one knows it.
No good deed is ever lost. Remember that, Clon.
When are you two going away?
Away?
Aye, away.
Where do you want us to go, Clon?
Away, far off. Away from here. Like the other girls who were here before you.
What did you say, Clon?
Huh? I can say no more.
My dear girls.
Mr. Penhallow.
I saw you stopping here to chat. You bring sunshine into Clon's life, do they not, dear boy?
Aye, master. I work now.
Yes, yes. I take this opportunity to suggest, forgive an old man his worries, to suggest that you take shawls. This sunlight is deceptive. The air grows quite chill in the afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Painhallow. We will.
Let's hurry, Sosin.
Alive, even if we don't have anyone to do figures with.
It's just as well we're strangers here.
Lucan, something's the matter. I don't think you've had a bit of fun this afternoon. You changed just after we talked to Clon.
I didn't mean to.
Oh, goodness, you don't believe anything he says, do you? I mean, about going away?
Of course not, Zersine. Of course not. Let's watch the dancing.
All right.
Excuse me, young ladies.
What? Did you speak to us?
May I have the privilege? I've been watching you here among the people. You're strangers.
Yes, we are.
My dear young lady, I mean no impertinence. I am one of the most respectable of the village residents. I and my young friend Baron Joliet thought we could perhaps be of assistance.
That's very kind, but we need no assistance, thank you.
Then perhaps we can offer some entertainment. Permit me, I am Paul Joliet. I would like to welcome you to our village.
Oh, are you the man who rides that wonderful gray?
Ah, Mademoiselle knows horses.
Oh, I love them. I've ridden them all my life until the... Oh, I'm talking too much.
Oh, on the contrary, not enough, Mademoiselle. Oh, don't look so forbidding. We want you to enjoy the festival. Be happy on this most joyous of days in Joliet.
That's very kind of you.
Are you staying here in Joliet?
Yes, we're guests of Mr. Penhallow.
Mr. Penhallow?
We are living with him for a year's study.
That's very interesting.
You know Mr. Penhallow?
No, I've simply heard of him. Tell me, how long have you been with him?
Nearly 2 months now.
Just the two of you?
Oh, come, Tyrell. This is not an inquisition. The young ladies are here for pleasure.
I don't mind the questions at all, Monsieur Joliet. I welcome any opportunity to tell what a kind friend Mr. Penhallow has been to us, and what a remarkable man he is.
So I've heard.
You must know him to really understand.
I believe that. In fact, when I heard that Mr. and Mrs. Penhallow had returned to Sand Bob, I planned to call on them.
Oh, I know they'd welcome you. They never see anybody.
Enough of Mr. Penhallow. I'm going to ask the favor of a dance with this young lady.
A dance? Oh, I'd love it, Monsieur Joliet.
All right, just one. Then we must be on our way home. I shall tell Mr. Penhallow that we met you, Monsieur.
Yes, do. Tell him I'm going to drop out that way to see him one of these days.
Who shall I tell him we'll call?
Tourelle is my name, mademoiselle. Georges Tourelle. I hope you will remember it.
I shall try, Monsieur Tourelle.
Thank you, mademoiselle. I am at your service. I'm the prefect of police in Joliet.
Look, are you awake?
Yes.
He liked you. I could see by the way he looked at you.
Who?
Monsieur Tourelle. He's very handsome and dignified.
Don't be silly, Zosine. He's a town official.
Oh, I don't care who he is. Lucan, Paul promised to let me ride one of his horses if I'd come to the Joliet paddock.
So it's Paul after one dance.
Wasn't he romantic? Just like a cavalier.
Go to sleep, Zosine.
Why don't you go to sleep?
I will. Zosine.
What?
What do you suppose Clon did that they wanted to send him to prison?
Goodness, I don't know.
I wonder who those other girls were he talked about.
Other students, probably.
I suppose so. Mr. Penhallow never mentioned them. They must have lived in this very room, slept in these very beds.
Suppose they did.
I wonder whatever became of them, Sosin.
Mr. Penhallow?
Yes, I am Mr. Penhallow.
Ah, yes, I know. I would recognize you at once.
You flatter me, monsieur. Come in, won't you? Your hat, your cloak. A glass of Madeira, perhaps?
No, thank you.
Ah, then another time, Monsieur Tourneau.
Ah, you know who I am.
Oh, yes, yes. One of my girls told me of having met you at the festival.
They're very charming, the young English ladies.
Fragile flowers, for whom it is our privilege, my wife and myself, to serve as protectors from a harsh world.
You are fortunate.
Now, tell me, to what do I owe the honor of this visit?
Mr. Penhallow, my duty today is rather painful.
Indeed, sir. Perhaps I can be of some help.
I hope you can help me, Mr. Penhallow, for I come here today not by my wish, but in the name of law and justice.
In that case, again, I bid you welcome.
Mr. Penhallow, I have some questions to ask you, rather direct questions. I hope you will answer them with conscientiousness.
Of course, though, you know I do not often go outside the walls of my quiet study. I do not know of events in the neighborhood.
This is no neighborhood event, Mr. Penhallow. It is justice on two continents which I seek.
Amazing, amazing. I'm at your service.
I understand you are a servant of the church in your own country.
I have been so privileged.
On account of your health, you gave up your vocation.
That was my cross.
And for 7 years you have lived here in France at Saint-Barbe.
It is as you say.
People of Joliet have reported that in these 7 years a number of young women from your own country have stayed in your house. All of them, it was noticed, have been young and fair.
Purity of soul, monsieur.
Let me go on. These young women have succeeded one another. As soon as one left, another was noticed to arrive. Mr. Penhallow, on your conscience, do you know what has happened to these young women?
Well, that is a strange question, Monsieur Tourelle.
One to which I must have the answer.
It is a long story.
Then take your time, Mr. Penhallow, and think carefully. Upon hope of salvation, I adjure you to tell the truth.
From Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Miss Anne Blythe starring in The Angelic Avengers, a version for listening by Margaret LeWorth of the Pierre Andrezel novel. Studio One will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Miss Anne Blythe stars in The Angelic Avengers by Pierre Andrezel.
Look on, did you hear what Monsieur Tourelle said? The young girl who disappeared.
Yes.
Do you believe those things?
I don't know.
Do you believe?
Don't ask me now, Susine. Let us sit here in our room and think. We've done a monstrous thing listening at the door.
But we only did it as a jest, but we didn't mean anything wrong. You wanted to see Monsieur Tourelle yourself.
But to stand outside like common eavesdroppers.
But we didn't know what they were going to say.
But we heard every word. I wish the earth would swallow us up.
Then you do believe those things he accused Mr. Penhallow?
Of course not. How could they be true?
You don't mean that. I can hear it in your voice. You mustn't try to spare me. You must tell me what you think.
Hush, Sorcine, lower your voice. They could hear you.
I close both doors to the dining room. They can't hear us here.
I feel now that even the walls in this house can hear us.
Then you are afraid.
No, Sorcine, no. Of course it isn't true. We lived here for nearly 4 months. We've said ourselves he's like a saint on earth. How could he...
do away with anyone.
Monsieur Tyrrell said there had been many girls here.
But Mr. Penhallow answered there were only two beside ourselves. The one who went back to England and Rosa.
Rosa, that was the name.
Why shouldn't they have had girls before us? To take the place of their daughter. It was good Christian charity.
But what about Rosa?
Rosa ran away. Mr. Penhallow said that. You heard him. She got Clon to help her run away.
But isn't that strange? Why would she run away? All she had to do was leave, just as we could. Mr. Penhallow has let us go wherever we please. I don't understand that.
I don't either. But we've heard something terribly wicked today. Something we had no right to hear. An evil accusation against a man who has done more for us than anybody in the world. That's what we must think about, Susine. Just that.
Wait. Monsieur Tyrrell is leaving. Yes, I can see through the window.
Get back, Susine. We've spied enough today.
Ooh, he looks angry, Monsieur Tyrrell. Angry. His face is dark.
How does Mr. Penhallow look?
He's smiling. Just a little. He looks as if he was saying a benediction. But he's very pale.
Well, Tyrrell, what did you find of Sam Bob?
Just what I expected, Paul. Nothing.
Did you see her?
Now, whom do you mean? The lovely golden-haired girl?
She caught your fancy, didn't she?
Just as the little dark-haired one caught yours. No, I didn't see either of the girls. Much as I hoped to.
What the devil were you doing out there all that time?
Talking, my dear Paul, talking.
Huh? What did you learn?
I learned that Mr. Penhallow is a very gentle and scholarly clergyman with a peculiar penchant for aiding young women in distress. He and his wife do this Christian deed in memory of their daughter.
Well, that should satisfy you.
It should, but it doesn't. That old man is either one of the misunderstood saints on earth or the devil incarnate.
You'll have a lot of trouble proving either.
I know that there were many girls who passed through that house. And I know Rosa Clare did not disappear into thin air.
I can't believe the things that you're implying. But if they are true, if it is possible that in some way Penhallow did do away with those girls, then we must get the English girls out of there at once.
Susine. Susine.
Who is it? Paul, you here?
Yes. I didn't want to come in. I've been waiting behind the wall here, hoping to get a glimpse of you.
Then why don't you come to the house and call, as is proper?
Well, I didn't want to today. I just wanted to talk to you.
I know why you didn't want to.
What do you mean?
You and your friend, Monsieur Tyrrell, whom we innocently spoke to at the festival. If we had only known the trouble it would bring to this good house.
What are you saying, Zosine?
I don't know all the things that happen in this world, but I will tell you. Your friend, Monsieur Tyrrell, called here yesterday, and whatever he said so hurt and shocked Mr. Penhallow that he has been ailing ever since.
I'm sorry to hear that, Zosine.
Sorry? Sorry? What does that do?
Zosine, listen to me. Whatever Monsieur Tyrrell or I do, it is because...
Because why?
Of you young ladies. Oh, please, listen to me. Let me talk to you. I came to ask if you are all right. If you would perhaps ride with me again.
Ride with you?
Well, you knew I wanted to see you again.
Well, I hoped for that once, too. But now neither Lucan nor I want to see either of you again. You have brought evil into the house of a saint on earth.
Do you really believe that?
I know it. Horrible insinuations, gossip. Because a man chooses to live by himself with deep and wonderful thoughts.
So, Zosine... Mademoiselle, please hear me. Monsieur Tyrrell...
Do not mention him again.
Oh. Is that all you have to say to me?
Yes. Yes. Please don't come here again. Writing, Lucan? I didn't mean to scare you. I just wanted to talk to you. I'm so unhappy. I've just seen Paul.
Paul? He was here?
I sent him away.
Sent him away? Oh, no.
How could I see him? How could we see either of them after what they've done to Mr. Penhallow?
Zosine.
What is it, Lucan? What's the matter?
Listen to me.
Are you ill?
Oh, no, I'm not ill. I must talk to you. And when I do, you must utter no sound.
But what's happened? Lucan, you're so pale.
Listen carefully. Socine, you must prepare yourself. Everything Monsieur Tourelle said, everything he accused Mr. Penhallow of is true.
True? Oh, no.
Yes, it is true, and much more is true. We have fallen into the most evil hands in this whole world.
How do you know? What makes you say this?
This piece of paper I found crushed behind the desk drawer. I was looking for some string to tie my diary, and when I pulled out the drawer, there was this yellow paper.
You want me to read it?
You must read it, but quickly.
Dear Master, I have filled the mission you have given me. The girl Rosa is disposed of. The others more tractable. Rosa proved difficult to the end. It took a strong rope indeed. Look out!
Go on.
Could you advance £5, Master? These missions are expensive. Signed, your servant, Pedro Andes. Look out!
Shh! You mustn't say anything.
Who is Pedro Andes?
It doesn't matter. Nothing matters now except that we get away from this house.
Then it is true. Every word girls did disappear.
Yes, it's true.
Well, then let us go immediately anywhere.
Yes, as soon as we can.
At your studies, girls?
We were, Mrs. Penhallow.
I've been watching you from the door.
From the door?
You make a charming picture. Your head's bent over your reading.
Thank you.
I shouldn't have disturbed you. What were you reading together so prettily, my dears?
Just my diary here on the desk.
Ah, yes. Mr. Penhallow has told me you are writing some very sweet little poems. Is that one of them? That yellow paper?
This? No, this is just a piece of scrap paper I picked up behind the desk. I was going to use it to wrap my embroidery floss on.
Let me have it, dear. I'll give you a better spool.
This will do nicely, thank you.
Let me have the paper.
Yes, Mrs. Penhallow.
Thank you. I hate rubbish around. Now I have a little surprise for you.
What is that?
The master.
The master?
I forget you girls have not come to use that term yet, but those of us who know Mr. Penhallow best always think of him that way.
What about the master?
He's feeling very much better tonight. We'll have tea together. I think tomorrow he will be his old self.
Lucan, are you awake?
Of course.
I can't stand it any longer. I can't.
Hush, Socine, you mustn't let your voice rise. Don't you understand? They are aware we know the truth now. They saw the letter we read.
He was so kind during tea, so gentle, and really he's...
You must get hold of yourself, Socine. Tomorrow we're going to get out of this house.
But they might murder us tonight in our beds as we slept.
We're not going to sleep. At least I shall not.
Let's go now. Slip past them down the hall.
No. If they caught us, heaven knows what they'd do. Better to wait for a chance in the morning.
They won't give us a chance then. Did you see how they watched us all during tea?
Shh. Someone's coming.
Asleep, girl?
What?
I just wanted to be sure you were safe.
Well, almost asleep, Mrs. Penhallow.
That's good. We want our little birds to sleep well. Mr. Penhallow wishes to study late tonight, so I shall be downstairs with him. If you want anything, we'll be right below you.
We don't want anything, Mrs. Penhallow.
Then good night. And oh, by the way, Mr. Penhallow wants to talk to you tomorrow morning.
Talk? What about Mrs. Penhallow?
I think he has some plans for you, my dears. Good night.
Plans? What does she mean?
I don't know, but I believe they're waiting just as we are.
Waiting for what?
Waiting for tomorrow.
Where are the young ladies?
In the dining room, finishing their breakfast.
Ah, they have an appetite. Good. You are watching them, tenderly.
I have not taken my eyes from them. I can see them through the door.
They have been devoting themselves so much to their books. I think the time has come for a change.
Yes. You said so last night.
An immediate change.
Something?
So I think perhaps you had better ask the young ladies to come in.
Yes.
You understand exactly what you are to do?
Yes.
Exactly. To the letter, my dear?
Yes.
The stage leaves at 8 tonight. All will be very simple, I assure you. Just as before.
Yes.
Now, will you send our little birds in to me? The house will truly seem lonely without them. But one cannot help changes. Ask them to come in, my dear. And do try to smile. Come in, my dears, come in. How your sweet faces brighten these old rooms and my old thoughts. Come, come, sit down in your usual chairs. You in the armchair, Lucan. You on the hassock, Zosie.
I'd rather stand.
Sit down, Zosie.
Oh, my dear, you are tired, aren't you? And no wonder. The books, the mental discipline I've demanded of you young maidens would have done justice to a scholar.
What did you want with us, Mr. Penhallow?
I wanted to make sure that the white faces I saw last night at tea were not a mirage. It is true. The English roses have quite gone from your cheeks.
We are quite well, thank you.
Oh, yes, I'm sure of that, but you need a little change.
What do you mean?
My dear child, only something for your pleasure. Everyone needs a change. Mrs. Penhallow feels it, too.
Kind of change.
These are my plans. As it happens, there is a little business in Marseille I have to attend to. I rarely leave Saint-Barb, but this demands my personal attention, and Mrs. Penhallow is coming with me for the trip.
What about us?
This is my surprise. I thought that you, my dears, would like a little vacation in England.
England?
Ah, that does surprise you, doesn't it?
You're sending us back to England?
That brings the colour back to your cheeks, my little hummingbird. Yes, England.
Oh, I knew it, I knew it. I knew you were good and kind, no matter what it...
Have you ever had occasion to doubt it, my dear?
When can we go, Mr. Penhallow?
Mrs. Penhallow and I are taking the stage to Marseille today. Oh, I'm going to ask you to do one errand for us, which unfortunately Mrs. Penhallow has not time to do.
Oh, of course, anything.
You are a sweet child, Zosine. This errand befits you. It's an errand of mercy to the little village of Trémarie, beyond Joliet. There's an old lady there. I will give you the address. We send her a weekly basket of food from Saint-Barb's kitchen. If you would take it...
Of course we will.
When can we leave for England, Mr. Penhallow?
As soon as you wish. The walk to Trémarie will take you most of the day. You can return and pack and leave by the morning stage. There. Does that make you happy?
Yes. Yes, happier than I could have believed.
It's heavy, Lucan.
Here, let's change sides.
Oh, I can't believe it. Last night we were sick with terror. Today we're free walking on the road to Joliet. Maybe we dreamed all that evil.
I don't know what we've dreamed. I don't understand it. That letter we found didn't lie.
Neither does this open road and sunlight. Lucan, there's freedom.
This must be Trémarie. Let's find the address.
This is Trémarie. Oui, de l'eau. I've never heard of it.
But you must. This is the address we were given.
I know of no Rue de l'eau.
Do you come from Trémarie?
All my life I live here. All my father's life, my mother, all people in village, my cousins.
We couldn't have misunderstood, Lucan.
If you know everybody in town, maybe you know the old lady who gets a basket of food from Saint-Barb in Joliet.
Food from Joliet? Nobody here gets food. We do not need charity. We work. Our farms are better than Joliet.
You don't know anybody like that?
I tell you what I know. No, you don't. No old woman getting fast catch.
I don't understand. Let's go from here. Look, I'm quickly. I'm frightened. We must catch our breath, Sosin. We can't walk this fast all the way home.
He played a trick on us to get us out of the house.
Or maybe to send us into a trap.
You mean somebody could be following us?
I don't think he would do that. We are too well known in Joliet. No, some other reason I do not understand.
Oh, what will we do?
Find Monsieur Tourel. Tell him what we know. He will help us.
Oui, mademoiselle.
Monsieur Tourel, please.
Monsieur Tourel is not here today. He has gone out of town.
Gone?
Oui, he and Monsieur Jolet left early this morning by carriage.
Paul is gone, too.
Oh, they will be back probably tomorrow. In the meantime, can I help mademoiselle?
No, thank you. Just tell Monsieur Tourel that we called. The two English ladies.
What will we do? We can't stay here in the street. It's getting late.
It'll be dark in another hour.
We don't know anybody else at all.
Zosine, if Mr. Penhallow gave us that false errand to do today, he wanted to get rid of us. Once out of the house, we were free to go. That means he's afraid of us, afraid of what we know.
What are you saying?
Tomorrow, we're to go back to England. He almost begged us. Zosine, I believe Mr. Penhallow wants to escape from us, not we from him.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Yes, it does. He thinks we're too frightened to tell, but if we return to England unhurt, it will be evidence of his good character.
Oh, maybe you're right.
We've turned from the hunted to the hunter, Zosine. I feel sure I'm right. We're going back to St. Bob right now.
Oh, look on.
If they've gone, we're going to search the whole house. We're strong, Zosine. Maybe together we can find the evidence to avenge Rosa and those other girls.
You really believe they have gone?
I'm sure of it.
Well, then let's hurry. It's getting dark and little road is so lonely.
They've gone, Lucan. Not a light anywhere.
Oh, the garden gate open. Oh, Lucan, we're free of them.
Let's go inside.
Wait.
What's the matter?
Look over there by the woodpile.
What is it?
You can just see it in this dusk.
I don't see anything.
Oh, right there where the wood has been pushed aside.
Why, it's a big hole.
A very big hole. Look, almost 6 feet deep. It wasn't there this morning.
Clon must have dug it. Let's find him. Clon! Clon!
He might be in the woodshed. Clon! Clon, are you here? He's not here, Lucan. Nobody's here.
Let's go inside quickly, Zosine, and bolt the door.
Let's light the candles quickly and pack our things.
Yes, let's. What are you looking at out the window?
I could have sworn I saw somebody outside, a sort of shadow.
It was only the bush stirring. So, Sosin, you mustn't begin to imagine things. Take your candle.
I didn't realize how big this old house is.
Lots of people have lived here.
Oh, Lucan, if only I hadn't sent Paul away.
You haven't sent him away.
You don't know how badly I talked to him.
If he truly loves you, Sosin, he will find you.
Do you believe that of your Monsieur Tourel?
I haven't thought of him.
Then why does your color come and go whenever his name is mentioned?
Don't be silly. Our own room. Oh, Sosin, only one more night here and then... Sosin.
What?
Someone has been in this room. Look at the wardrobe. It's open.
Lucan, our clothes are gone.
Everything. Every single thing.
I don't understand. Why would they take our things? Why, even our bonnets. To sell them?
I don't know. But I know one thing. That's why they wanted us out of the house all day, to take our things. Let me see. Our money's still in the drawer. They didn't want money.
What did they want?
Zosine, I think I know.
What?
I see it all now, how they caught us.
What are you talking about?
Mr. and Mrs. Penhallow are about our size. They could wear our clothes.
Why would they do that?
If they wore our clothes, anyone seeing them getting on the stage in the dark would think it was us.
Oh, Lucan.
We played right into their hands by going to Joliet, Monsieur Tourelle's office, showing everybody we were free.
I still don't understand.
Don't you, my poor child? Don't you see? We're alone here in this house, but we've been seen getting on the Marseille stage. If anything happens to us tonight, no one will ever know.
Another cognac, Paul?
No, thank you.
You're restless. What's on your mind?
Well, it's those two English girls, George. The things you suspect of Penhallow are true. The murder of those other young women. And we had no right to leave Joliet, even for an hour.
I told you he would not dare show his hand now.
How do you know? How do you know if he's even sane? When I told you Zosine in the garden, her eyes blazed in his defense as if... Well, as if he'd had hypnotized her.
Oh, you're overworking your imagination, my friend. Tomorrow we shall be back in Joliet. Now, another cognac. Ah, the tavern seems to be filling up.
Yes, the Marseille stage came in a few minutes ago. It'll leave shortly.
One more glass, and we'll get out of this crowd. Our room should be ready by now.
George! George!
What's the matter?
I saw her. Out there, I saw her.
Who are you talking about?
Zosine. I saw her. She's on the Marseille stage. I'd know that bonnet anywhere.
Wait a minute. Where?
If she's on the Marseille stage, it means they're leaving Joliet. I've got to find her. Help me, George. She's somewhere in that crowd. The stage leaves in 5 minutes.
There, Zosine. Everything is bolted. No one could get in.
It's late.
Perhaps we're going to be safe. Perhaps they haven't dared come back.
Oh, I'm so tired, Lucan.
We must try to rest. We've only this night to get through. At the first light of dawn, we shall leave this house forever.
Dawn? I feel now as if I would never see the dawn again. The quiet, Lucan. I can't bear it.
Here, sit on this sofa beside me. We'll talk of England and our trip tomorrow.
Shall we talk of that hole in the garden that might be our grave?
Hush.
Oh, I'm so cold. Lucan, let's not sit in this big living room.
Shall we go into the kitchen? Perhaps eat something?
No. We've bolted the door to the kitchen. Leave it.
Then let's go into the study. That's a small room.
Yes, the study. You would read to me.
Of course I'll read to you.
What's that?
I didn't hear anything.
I did. Like someone walking.
That's only the creaking of an old house at night.
Good evening, my dears.
Mr. Penhallow. We thought you'd gone. We thought...
Yes, my dears, you have thought many things. Too many things.
Why have you come back?
To finish a certain undertaking, my dear. Come, sit down. You're trembling.
No, don't touch me.
Ah, you have been a disappointment, both of you. And I had such high hopes for you.
The same kind you had for Rosa? And the other student you brought from England?
You speak of something about which you know very little.
You did kill her, didn't you, Mr. Penhallow? You can tell us now. Nobody will know.
Oh, hush, Lucan.
Let her talk, my dear, if it will help her. I do not like the verb you employ, Lucan. Kill. But that is out of ignorance. I help those girls to find their true and appointed destinies.
You admit it.
But you were to be different. You were to be my shield. My happy little birds for all the world to see. Until the day you read a letter that was not addressed to you.
What are you? What sort of man are you? Saint or devil?
Do not take his name lightly.
His name?
You call him devil. I call him master. Yes, I serve him. For 20 years I have kept my pact with him. For what I have done, he has given me power. Power above all men. Nothing can touch me.
He's mad.
Call me what you will. I live on a level of sanity far above ordinary men. I am master to them. And when this night's work is over, I shall be free again. to serve my master.
What are you going to do?
Be sure that never again my plans are interfered with.
If anything happens to us, all England will know about it.
No one will know about it, my dear, because you were last seen, both of you, on the Marseille stagecoach. Now come, the night is passing.
Look out! He has a rope!
Do not resist, my little hummingbirds, for I am surprisingly strong. And after this I can rest. Rest indeed, for I am very tired.
Don't come near us. Don't touch us.
Yes, my dears, rest. You will rest, too. Quietly. Quietly. You will be beautiful when you are still.
Give me the rope, Mr. Penhallow.
To them.
Oh, Paul.
It's all right, my darling. We're here. We saw it all through the window.
Get back, all of you.
I'm afraid it's too late to give orders, Mr. Penhallow. Just stand where you are.
You think you have trapped me?
You trapped yourself. It would have worked if we hadn't met Mrs. Penhallow on the Marseille stage in a new bonnet and gown, one that we recognize.
What are you talking about?
See to the girl, Paul.
Sure, she has a knife.
Stand back, all of you.
Mr. Penhallow.
What do you know of me? I was once on your level, a poor, powerless mortal, struggling as you struggle. Until I made my pact. Yes, the pact for my soul. Then I began to live. You cannot touch me.
Come along.
Stay where you are. Keep your hands off. I serve the master. The master. Master, help me. Help me. Give me life.
Oh! Stabbed himself. Penhallow.
He's dead.
Come away, Lucan.
He's dead. Look. Look, his face. The gentle mask is gone. It's evil. Evil.
This completes the court record. The man Penhallow died by his own hand. His wife took poison shortly thereafter. The boy Clon was found wandering in the road, suffering from a heavy head blow from the madman. Of the English girls, the one called Socine was married quietly to the Baron Joliet this 20th day of September, 1840. Of the other called Lucan, the record is incomplete.
There will be no record. This story will be buried in the archives of a little French village, a village that holds my heart. Someday I may come back, but now I must find work. Good work to help me forget, for I shall bear the scars of these events to my grave. I looked on the face of evil and did not know it. Pray God you, hearing this story in some distant day, will not come so close to the edge of the pit.
From Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Miss Anne Blythe starring in The Angelic Avengers by Pierre Andrussel, another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Margaret LaWorth, and the original musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Lucan Bellenden was played, of course, by Miss Anne Blythe, currently co-starred in the Universal picture Another Part of the Forest. In the foreground were Margaret Phillips as Zosine, and Everett Sloan as Mr. Penhallow. Sarah Burton was Mrs. Penhallow. Actively assisting were Joseph DeSantis, Grant Richards, Will Hare, Frank Behrens, Alan Devitt, and Guy Spall. Tonight, in Mr. Markle's absence, our director was John Dietz. Next week on Studio One, we bring you the dramatic and heartwarming portrait of a young clergyman and his family. Our story will be One Foot in Heaven by Hartzell Spence. And our star, paying a return visit to Studio One, will be Mr. Francho Tone. Until then, until next week, and One Foot in Heaven, starring Francho Tone, this is Lee Vines with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.